Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is truly a day that the Lord has made, and we have to learn to rejoice and be glad in it. This is a wonderful time that God has set aside on Wednesday night for us to come together to explore the Word of God. As always, it's a pleasure for me to come before you week after week, and I thank God for the opportunity that he allowed me to come before his people. I would always and be ever grateful to each and every one of you that has taken time from your busy schedule to come so that we could explore the Word of God together. And as always, we have to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise for what he's allowing and doing in our lives. I hope that everyone had a great week and that, you know, everything that you set out to do, you was able to accomplish it. And if there's anything going on in your life right now, I want you to know that God is able to see you through. And we just have to hold on to the confession of our faith. You know, if we have faith, we have to hold on to that even in the midst of storms, even when things are not going our way. We just have to hold on to the confession of our faith so that we may receive the salvation of the Lord. As always, before we start, I like to go to the throne of grace, and if there's, I think my grandson is on the line tonight, and he calls in to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. My grandson is Madison Andrew Chambers, and you know we have a lot of things to say about our children and what we are grateful for, and things that make us please. But you know the Bible say, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will never depart from it. Well, it was awards day at Madison School last week, a week before last, and he was granted the honor of being chosen in his school, the entire school, to receive the religious award. And it wasn't just for knowing the Bible scriptures, but it was based on your walk. And Madison was chosen in his school by, you know, the different principals and all of the teachers. You know, they came together, and he received a trophy for it. And I was so elated and excited about it. And I just pray to God that he continue in his Christian walk. But right now, I'm going to open a line for Madison, and he'll bring us to the throne of grace. And if there's anyone else out there who would like to pray, when Madison is finished, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll open your mic, and you can lead us in prayer as well. Madison, you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to say anything to the people tonight?
Hope you like the lesson.
And you want to pray for us tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you could go ahead.
God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to tune into my grandmother's Bible study and learn about you and get to tell others about you and about the things that they have learned and tell other people about my grandma's broadcast so she could bring up with more ratings, start listening to her, and she would get a high career with teaching the Bible. Please, God, and please let everyone who's listening let their ears open wide so they can understand and at the end ask questions. Please, God, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. And if you can listen to the program some tonight. And as always, I thank you. And I thank you for taking time out of your schedule, and I thank you for showing up, and I thank you for the prayers that you prayed, and I thank you for always including me in your prayer. And I just want you to know that I receive it and I believe it. And when you finish praying, I can say amen. So just thank you and be blessed. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
If anyone else would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up where you could pray. If not, I'm going to go straight into a song. But those who have their Bibles, I want you to know that the lesson tonight is coming from the book of Exodus. We're going to be in the 14th chapter. We're going to do verses 5 through 14. And we're going to skip down and do verses 20 and 21 and 20. Verses 20 and 21. And our topic tonight is God provided the evidence and he, you know, of his power and his love. You know, God has provided us enough evidence to know what he's promised to do, what he's working with, and what he intends to do in your lives. He provides the evidence. He don't want us just to assume or not be sure about the different things of what he could do and can't do. The word of God provides us all of the evidence necessary for us to believe. So the topic tonight is God provided the evidence of his love and power. We are coming from Exodus 14, 5 through 9, and we're going to skip down to 21 and 22. Right now I'm fixing to play a song, and I thought the song is so appropriate because it's the blessing of Abraham. And, you know, the promise and the things that God had Abraham, that he had promised Abraham, what would happen with his generations, you know, with Moses, some of that came to pass. And you could see when God promised Abraham, even though it took years, and, you know, you would think, when is it all going to come into fruition or when is going to happen? God don't work on our timetable. God sets it up the way that is necessary and that he wants to achieve it. So we have to keep that in mind when we may be going through or feel like God is taking long to answer your question and you can't hear his voice. You just have to trust his plan. And the song that I'm playing tonight is The Blessing of Abraham. So you listen to this and be blessed. And when the song is over, we're going to go straight into the lesson. But I just want to tell you guys, you know, this is a good day, and this is a great day because God allowed us to be together, and God is allowing us to explore the word of God right now. There's no other better place or anything better we can be doing than what we're doing right now, and God find favor in that. So I'm going to play this song, and then after that, we'll get into the lesson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Ah. Here we go, y'all. Well, practice. Yeah, write a book, score a film. Somebody's gonna walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
Of Abraham. I don't know how much you experienced from that, but we all are the seeds of Abraham, and what God promised to Abraham is all for us to receive. You know, we have an inheritance with God. When we accepted Jesus Christ out as our Savior, you know, we received and we was placed in the will of God. And just like a wheel in the natural, when someone die, the will is bust open and it guarantees people who are listed in the will different things and what they'll get, and sometimes it tell them what they have to do to receive it. But you see, we were all in the will of God, and God had a will and a design and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. But just like a will in the natural, when the will cannot be executed until someone dies. Well, you see, when Jesus Christ died and he hung on the cross, when Jesus said that it was finished, the curtains that separated us from God was torn from the top to the bottom. And because Jesus died, the will was open, and the will is full of promises. That record said that we are heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. We was adopted and grafted in. But there's so many things that God have for you, but you'll never know what they are until you read the will. The Holy Bible is called the will of God, and everything that's for you and everything and the expectation that God expects from you is listed in the Word of God. But if you don't read the Word of God, you won't know the promises that God have for you. You don't know how to, like what he said, it's your inheritance. He said, you know, like you got to snatch it. But how can you do it if you don't know it's there? So I encourage everybody to read the Word of God for yourself. You know, the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15 say you should study to show yourself approved. You know, it's time out from just taking what someone else say to you. You know, you have to rightly divide the word of truth for yourself. So it is so important. And, you know, it's just so important for us because the more we know, the more we can show. And for those who have just come on the line, because I see that other callers has come in, I want you to know that the scripture is coming from the book of Exodus. We're going to be in the 14th chapter, the 5th through the 14th verse, and then we're going to skip down to the 21 and the 22nd, the 21st and 22nd verse. And the title of this lesson tonight is God Provided the Evidence of His Power and His Love. You see, God don't ask you to believe in him without having given you evidence of what he could do. If all of us take time and look back over our lives, we could truly see what God has done. And if he did it then, he could do it again. I think all of us have some evidence of the hand of God in our lives. Because, you know, some of the things that was manifested in our lives, we couldn't have did it if we tried. Some of the places that God has placed you in, you couldn't get there on your own. You know, every time God wakes us up in the morning and give us a brand new day, you know, we can't give ourselves breath. We can't wake ourselves up. We can't give ourselves a reasonable portion of health and strength. It's all by the glory of God. So God gives us evidence. And if, let me just tell you this. God said that God knew in his ultimate wisdom that everybody wouldn't read the Bible and some would read it more than others. He knew that. So he said he put his evidence in nature. If you see a tree, like I have a magnolia tree in my backyard, the magnolia tree, every time in early summer, which uses around April or something, the magnolias come on that tree and they bloom, bloom, bloom. That's not man. That's God. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you see the sun in the sky, man didn't put it there, and man can't take it down. Or the moon at night. You know, you could see things growing, and you could see a bird that just be a bird, you know, because God created him to be a bird. You know, out of all of God's creation as far as animals and things, humans are the only one that had a mind, and humans the only ones that get out of character and get out of their purpose and do things that shouldn't be done. You know, a bird is going to be a bird. You know, you never saw a bear trying to be a dog, you know, and different things like that. But I say that to say God provides the evidence of his power and his love. Tonight's lesson is going to be on Moses, and always I give you a little background. Now, this is a glimpse of Moses, and hopefully after you hear this lesson and you meditate on this lesson, that you'll decide to go and look up more for yourself. Because, you see, Moses, you know, I could talk about Moses to tomorrow and still wouldn't be covered everything that he has done, you know. But tonight I chose this particular part. But I'm giving you a little background on Moses before we get to the scripture. Moses is one of the most prominent figures in the Old Testament. You see, while Abraham is called the father of the faithful and a recipient of God's unconditional covenant of grace to his people, you see, because Abraham, and this real important, so I'm not going to skip over this. You know, we think of grace. We live in a dispensation of time of grace, and we believe that grace was granted with the death of Jesus, but that is true. But God is letting you know that grace has always been. You see, because Abraham was born way before Jesus, and we sometimes believe that grace was granted with the death of Jesus. But here we see, if we look way back to Abraham, you see, Abraham was a faithful man. And because of his faithfulness, God accounted it and gave him credit and for righteousness. And because God had given him righteous credit for righteousness, then God extended the grace. And so I'm trying to show you that grace has always been here. But Abraham is called the father of the faithful and a recipient of God's unconditional covenant of grace to his people. But Moses was the man chosen to bring redemption to the people. God specifically chose Moses to lead the Israelites from captivity in Egypt to salvation in the promised land. Moses also is recognized as a mediator of the Old Testament and is commonly referred to the giver of the law. Moses' role in the Old Testament is a typical shadow of the role Jesus played in the New Testament. That's why we say the Old Testament always points to the New Testament, and everything in the Bible is written in point to Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. You see, the descendants of Abraham lived in peace for several generations until there rose a power in Egypt, a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. So what you're saying, Diane, we remember how the Israelites got to Egypt. Joseph, which was one of the 12 sons of Isaac of Jacob. Joseph, Isaac was Abraham's son, and Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So Joseph was one of the sons of Israel, of Jacob. And he was sold into slavery, but he did well in Egypt. And he became the big man next to the king. And the kings loved him, and several kings came, and then several kings left. But here we see this king, now a Pharaoh, he didn't know Joseph. You see, this Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. He didn't have a relationship. He didn't care that Joseph was the one that helped them to become the richest nation in the world. And Joseph interpreted the dreams that provided food for the whole world when no one else had it, and everybody had to look to Egypt and come to Egypt. You see, this Pharaoh, he wasn't concerned with all of that. He didn't have a relationship with Joseph. So the Pharaoh used the Hebrew people that were living in peace all of those generations, and he made them slaves. But you see, God's hand was still on them, and as slaves, God blessed the Hebrew people with rapid growth. The Egyptians began to fear the increased numbers of the Jews. You see, even though they was in oppression and they was being oppressed, God still had his hand on them, and they were still flourishing. Their cattle was multiplying. Their children was multiplying. Their numbers was growing, you know, in with leaps and bounds, you see. And it scared the Pharaoh. You know, it scared the Egyptians. And the Egyptians began to fear the increasing numbers of the Jews living in their land. So Pharaoh ordered the death of all male children born to Hebrew women. So, you know, when we talk about all of the men children was being killed, this would happen at that time. You see, but Moses' mother saw that her child was goodly, meaning fair, and attempting to save the child by putting him in a basket and putting him in a Nile River. The basket was eventually found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him as her own and raised him in the palace of the Pharaoh himself. She raised Moses, who the king had put decree to kill all males. She adopted him, and he was placed in a palace. Don't tell me what God won't do for you. God could do anything and everything for anybody and everybody. So Moses was being raised in a palace. But you see, as Moses grew into adulthood, he began to sympathize with the plight of his people. And upon witnessing an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, Moses intervened and killed the Egyptian. So plenty of times you hear that Moses was a murderer. You know, people will tell you, oh, Moses was a murderer, but you need to know why and how did it came about. And one other thing I wanted to tell you about God and his evidence. Moses was raised in the house of the Pharaoh, but Moses was a young child. And back then they didn't have bottles and you could get formula. Plus the queen wasn't going to kind of take care of 24-hour care of a baby. So Moses' sister was following Moses while he was in a basket. And when she saw the Pharaoh's daughter take Moses, she went up to her boldly and said, I got somebody that could help you with this child. The daughter didn't know nobody, and it was, you know, she wanted Moses, and that came so readily available. So she told her, okay. So Moses' sister Miriam went and got her mother. Come on now. And Moses' mother was able to be there with him. He still was able to you know, suck on her breast. He was still able to be held in her arms. You see, what God has for you is for you. And God says that he's always working it out for our good, but we got to trust him and believe him. You see, God chose Moses to free the children of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. Moses led 2 million people in the desert, and if I'm not mistaken, it didn't count women and children, because women and children wasn't counted back then. So we know of 2 million people in the desert. Much of the time, he served as a buffer between God and the people. At another time, he had to respond to God's anger at the people because of their stubbornness and their ability to just be forgetful about all that he did. At another moment, he had to react to their unjustified attacks on his character. You know, they say, Moses, you don't know what you're doing. You done brought us out here. You know, you don't have a plan. You should have a better plan. But, you know, leadership involves reaction. But when you are a leader of anything, if you want to react with instincts consistent with God's will, we must develop habits of obedience to God. You see, in our age of lowering moral standards, we find it almost impossible to believe that God would punish Moses for the one time disobeyed outright that he did. You know, we all know that Moses didn't get to the promised land. And what he's saying right here is that he had an act of disobedience, and there's not many more, if any, that we could find in the word of God. But Moses, you would say, why was he not allowed in the promised land? Well, one of the things is God told him to hit the rock. But Moses allowed the people to get him mad, and God told him to tap the rock. Moses got mad with the people, and he hit the rock, and the water came, and the people started praising Moses. So Moses had taken the praise away from God. This lets us know if that kept Moses from the promised land, you better and you should give God all the praise and honor that he deserved. He don't want to share that with nobody. Because, you see, if you're putting praise and honor and glory on what you're doing or you think it's because of your ability, then you're boasting. God can't stand a boaster because, really and truly, it's not because of you. You know, even if you got the best job in the world, if God don't give you the strength to go to that job, you can't do it. Everything belongs to God, and anything God allow you to have in your hand is because for you to realize that you're only a steward. But we see that Moses did not enter the promised land for his disobedience. What we fail to see, because people say, oh, that's wrong, but what we fail to see in our little eyes, however, is that God did not reject Moses. Watch this. Moses simply disqualified himself to enter the promised land. Come on now. You see, we have to watch that. We have to watch what we bring on ourselves. And we can't say that is God. But what it say, Moses disqualified himself. You see, personal greatness does not make a person immune to error of his consequences. You know, when Jesus died, he said, I'm going to take away all of the sins of the world. He said, but flash bulletin, hashtag, I will not take away your consequences. See, we all have consequences for the things we do, and our consequences could be bad or they could be good. You see, what God did, he did not change who or what Moses was. He did not give Moses new abilities or strength. This is what happened with Moses, and this is what happened in your life, so pay attention. Instead, he took Moses' characteristics that he had placed in Moses before the foundation of the world, that he had placed Moses when his mother had him in that basket, that he had placed Moses when he went in Pharaoh's house. You see, the characteristics. Instead, God took Moses' characteristics that he had implanted in him and molded them until he was suited for God's purpose. Everything you need to reach your intended purpose that God has assigned for you is already in you. It's already there. You see, when God created you, he put everything that is necessary for you to give him the glory. God take what he created in the first place and use it for its intended purpose. You see, the next time you talk to God, don't ask, what should I change into? Or what's my purpose? I don't have any gifts. I don't know my gift. Don't ask him what should you change into, but how should I use my own abilities and strengths to do your will? That's what we should ask. That's what God wants us to ask. And if we start with the scriptures, we're going to start right here. And I say the 5th through the 29th, but I'm really starting at the 10th verse. And so those who have your Bible, go to the 10th verse, 14 chapter, 10th verse. And it says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptian marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord and said to Moses, watch this, how not sarcastic, but watch how they're talking. Because there is no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Therefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell the Egyptians, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now, when they told this to Moses, they were complaining. And they were grumbling. And they, you know, they just was doing it. How many times in our life we do that? No matter what God is doing for us, we still find room to complain. It almost make me think back in slavery time. You know, when the slaves were freed, you know, some slaves wouldn't come off the plantation. So, you know, freedom is not for everybody. God gives it and try to make a way for everybody, but everybody don't receive it. Because even if we looked at slavery or we looked at what the Egyptian was mumbling about, some people have freedom, but they're not free in their mind. Their mind is always taking them to places of bondage. They allow their flesh to bring them to places in bondage. And the Egyptian, Israelites was complaining. They said it's better for us to have died in Egypt. This is what they asked him. You know, like they ain't got no graves in Egypt. Like they don't have any graves in Egypt. You know, you could have left us dead if we was going to die. They got graves in Egypt. And, they went on. He said, we told you, you know, to let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. But it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness. You see, and at this time, why they was complaining and things like that, you see, they was trapped against the sea. The Israelites faced the Egyptian army sweeping in for the kill. The Israelites thought they were doomed after watching God's powerful hand deliver them from Egypt. You know, all that God had did, you know, they take this time like if God did all of that, and yes, he can, but now we trapped and he can't deliver. Crazy. But it happens all the time. And when we think that whatever we going through that is too big for God, you're only fooling yourself. Because after watching God's powerful hand deliver them from Egypt and the miracles that he had performed, you know what God did? God allowed the death angel to pass over their firstborn. You know, that's when the Passover was created. Yes, God did do that, and they saw that. That angel passed over all of the doors of the Israelites, and all of their firstborns was saved, and all of the Egyptians' firstborn died. Not just their firstborn children, but all of their cattle and you know, everything that was firstborn died. They saw that happen. You know, they saw when they left Egypt, God told them to borrow, which I guess they used the word borrow, but they wasn't going to return it. He told them, go to anybody and ask them for whatever you want, and they're going to give it to you. You see, he allowed them to walk away from Egypt with their hands full of provision. And yet their only response to all of this was fear, whining, and despair. You got to ask, where was their trust? You know, I get this all the time. They say, Lord, if I lived back then and I saw Jesus, and I saw God, I heard the voice of God speaking from heaven, and I saw Jesus walk on water, there's no way that I wouldn't serve God, that I wouldn't do it all right. But you have to remember, we live in a flesh, and we have a sin nature because of what Adam and Eve did. We not striving, and we could never be on this side sinless. But we should be pressing towards the mark that we sin less and that we grow every day. As we press towards the mark of a high calling, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. But, you know, right here, what I said was, where was their faith? You see, Israel had to learn from the repeated experience that God was able to provide for them. God had to show them one after another and another after another and another after another. And it seemed like it wasn't enough because right here we see them grumbling. By focusing on God's faithfulness in the past, you know, in our past, we can face adversities with confidence rather fear and complaining. When you look at your past and you really think things over, you could truly see and see how God has blessed you. Take that same experience from your past and put it in your present. Allow God to do what he does best and just move on in the name of Jesus. You know, they were saying things like it was better to be a slave in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. They had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Bible say their shoes never wore out. Come on now. Food was provided from heaven daily, the daily bread, which was called mammon. And guess what? When they got tired of eating mammon, they cried out to Moses, and Moses went to God on their behalf, and he gave them meat. He personally delivered it to them. You know, when I read that, it put me in mind of a scripture in Deuteronomy 6:11-1, and it says, God said this, I will give you houses filled with all kind of good things that you did not even provide. He said, I'll give you wells that you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive groves you didn't even plant. Then when you eat and you are satisfied, houses, when you eat, you will be satisfied. What God is saying, you know, everything you have, you don't even know how you got some of it. You don't know. God said, I'll give you things, you know. He told them when they get to the promised land that you have houses you didn't even build. Come on now. You see, God provides the evidence full of provision, showing his power and his love. And yet sometimes we seem that it's not enough. You see, this is the first instant of grumbling and complaining by the Israelites. Grumbling would become a major problem for the people on their journey. Their lack of faith in God was simply unbelievable. How often do we find ourselves doing the same thing, complaining over inconveniences or a little discomfort? You see, the journey took them 40 years due to their disobedience. Our disobedience sometimes sets us back. Because disobedience takes you out of position, and we always have to be in position to receive the things that God wants to give us. You see, normally the journey would have been much shorter. It really would have been only a matter of a week or two by foot. But yet, they wandered for 40 years. And we're going to read verse 13 now. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God's telling, tell them to be cool. Their enemies, the Egyptians, he said, you see them today, but you ain't going to see them no more. You know, I done worked this out together for your good, but just trust me. You see, the Lord, and then the next scripture says, 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. This is what God's saying. Whenever you're going through something, you done gave it to me, let me handle it. But while I'm handling it, have patience and hold your peace and see how I'm going to work it out for you. You see, the people were hostile and despairing, but Moses encouraged them to watch the wonderful way in which God would rescue them. Moses had a positive attitude. Do you have a positive attitude about most things in life, everything in life, or just some things in life? When it looks as if they were trapped, Moses called upon God to intervene. Right now in your life, you may not be chased by an army, but you may feel trapped by everyday life issues. You know, some of us have health problems. Some is having financial problems. And as you look on the news with all of these young boys and young girls being killed, some people is dealing with a family problem. You see, but we should adopt Moses' attitude to stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which God will bring in our lives. You know, there's a scripture say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. What he's telling us that if we let the Lord fight our battles, victory would be ours. Now, you got to remember, God don't answer everything the way you want him to. And God don't always come when you want him to, but he's always on time. You see what Moses was saying? Be cool. Let's just wait. Because God has a way to make your enemies your footstool. Moses was saying to them that all things is going to work together for your good if you love the Lord. There are times in our lives that only the word of God will help us. And when we get to verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong west wind all the night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry land. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Use your imagination to visualize this. You know, they was back up against the wall. The Egyptians was coming. They felt trapped. They didn't figure they had nowhere to go. They started mumbling and they started grumbling. But look how God showed up and he showed off. You see, there was no apparent way of escape. But the Lord opened up the dry path through the sea. Sometimes we find ourselves caught in a problem and we see no way out. But God is telling you right now, don't panic. Because God can make a way out of no way. And God and the word of God tells us all the time, what God did for one, he's willing to do for others. He has no respect to person. What he did for Moses, he's willing to do for you. You see, some scholars believe that the Israelites did not cross the main body of the Red Sea. You know, that's just some of the opposition from the word of God, or sometimes an atheist when they try to discredit the things of God, or perhaps a smaller branch of the sea where the water could be hollow enough for them to wade across. You see, I come to tell you that these scholars, because of their lack of faith and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can't comprehend the power or the sovereignty of God. So they try to minimize the hand of God, what God can do and what he can't. You see, God can do anything he wants, whenever he wants, for whomever he wants, because he is God. The Bible clearly states that the Lord drove the sea back with a strong wind and turned it into dry land. Do you believe the word of God? You see, let's look at this and be simple, sensible. God, who created the earth and the water, performed a miracle, a mighty miracle, at exactly the right time to demonstrate his great power and his love for his people. If God created the water, and when he created the water, he put it in the boundaries of the lakes and the rivers and the seas. That's why, you know, we have land and we have water, because God ordained it. You think God can't push the water back and part the water so someone could walk across it? Give him his props. Give him his glory. You see, when we look at the life of Moses, Moses was chosen before the foundation of the world. No matter what the devil set up for us, God turned it around for our good. You see, Moses had an intended purpose the Lord used to accomplish a divine goal for his glory. We are all created for the glory of God, and God has put different things in us that when we allowed him to mold and shape us into our intended purpose that is needed for the kingdom building for the common good of all, that's what gives God glory. You see, each and every one of us has a design purpose, but we have to allow God to mold and shape us. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, and I love this scripture so much. This was the prophet Jeremiah, and God was speaking in him. God told Jeremiah to tell a people, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I mean, that should be music to your ears. God said to tell a people, and you are his people. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you expected end." God had you in mind before you were even born. He had in mind your expected end, and it's going to be good, because God is a good God, but you got to trust him. And as I close tonight, and finally, it is interesting to note that even though Moses never set foot on a promised land during his lifetime, he was given an opportunity to enter the promised land after death. Y'all have to know this. Some of the things God has for us will not be experienced on earth. You know, a lot of people pray for healing. You know, they might not be healed on this side, but when they get on the other side, they're going to have glorified body. There will be no sickness. So everybody will be healed of anything they have. And Moses didn't get to the promised land here on earth, but he went to a promised land after his death. You see, some things we'll receive after death in our journey through eternity. You see, everything is not for you to know now. God tell us what we need to know, and we have to wait for the rest. So as, you know, we end our lesson tonight, a thing about Moses, when Moses didn't get to the promised land, Moses died. The Bible tells us that God buried Moses with his own hands. The Bible also tells us that Moses' grave have not been found to this day. Whenever you read in the Bible and it say to this day, that means if they're reading it 50 years from now, it's going to still say to this day. So that means that Moses' body will never be found. Moses received honor from God because he was buried with his own hand. And God, Moses is receiving the promise, and he received the promise after his death. You see, Moses truly loved God, and the Bible said that no one will ever find his grave. So even though Moses didn't get to the promised land, Moses received honor from God. And God has a special place for his special people. And God really ordained Moses now and in eternity. So keep in mind the things that we can learn from Moses. Moses was obedient, except that time. Moses kept a great attitude. Moses was like a peacemaker between God and the people. And Moses was faithful unto God until his death and even after death. So we can learn from Moses. You know, read the story of Moses. This was just, like I say, you could read. You know, I could talk about Moses to next week and still not have talked about it all. But I pray that this spark your interest and that you meditated and the Holy Ghost lead you to other places where you could have more illumination and more revelation in the things of God and what maybe God wants from you and have for you. So I tell you tonight, that is the lesson. I pray that you were blessed. You know, I think everything in the Word of God is, it has a purpose and it's for us. So even, you know, this might not be the shouting lesson, but it's a necessary lesson. There's 66 books, and God wants us to touch each and every one of them. There's many characters that God allow us to have as witnesses and see how their life was, and then we apply to our lives. So explore the life of Moses and the things that he did, and I guarantee your life will be enhanced. Well, right now I have a caller that have pressed and want to make comments. Caller, your number is 504-237. You could talk at this time. Caller, 504-237-60. If you press the mic and want to talk, you can do it at that time. This time. Sometimes the one button is pressed by accident. But if there's anyone who would like to make any comments, concern, ask for prayer, or anything, you may do it at this time on by pressing the one button. And if you're listening on the internet, you would have to dial the number that's listed on the internet, the 1-347-945-7659. You'll have to dial that number, come into the studio, and press the one button on your phone, and then the mic will be given to you, and you can make your comments. If there's anyone who would like to say anything at this time, you may press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic. Well, every Wednesday we've tried to always finish the lesson at 9:30. We started at 8:30. It's 9:27. No one has pressed that that they would like to speak, ask for prayer, give words of encouragement, or anything like that. So what I'm going to do is, if anyone would like to pray and lead us out with prayer, for those who like the songs, I'm going to still play the songs, but I want the prayer to go forth, because if someone want to leave, you know, there's blessing and a benediction, and I wouldn't want a person to leave before the benediction, and those who want to stay can listen to the music. So if anybody would like to lead us out in prayer, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll let you go through to the throne of grace, to the throne of grace in all of our behalves. But if no one would like to pray, I'll say a prayer, and then I'll go into the music. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, that my grandson Madison called in and led us to the throne of grace for the beginning. And you are now allowing me to lead to the throne of grace at the end. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for the promise that you made to Abraham. And I thank you for using Moses to set the captives free. Lord, I thank you for waking us up this morning and allow us to go on our journey. Heavenly Father, if your will, I ask that each person that is listening either by telephone or on the internet, I pray that you give them the blessings that they are in need of. Lord, go with each and every person that is represented here and just be with them, walk with them, talk with them, and guide them and lead them to all righteousness and truth. Lord, I thank you for being our God, and I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come every Wednesday and explore your word together. Lord, we're living in trying times, and there's so much going on. And, you know, they say we live in a wicked world, and you might or not, the Bible says that from way back then, and now you could really understand it. You could see what he's talking about. And so he told us that we would be in a world, but not of the world. And we need the word of God to be our buffer from evil. And we have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus, or we will fall astray. Lord, grant us peace in the midst of storm. Make a way for us out of no way, dear God. Enhance us, mold us, and shape us into what you would have for us to be. Heavenly Father, I'm careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And our prayer for tonight. And I'm going to play a song. If anybody would like to say anything, you could still press the one button at this time. And when the song goes forth, you still have time to press it if you would like to say anything. But I'm going to go ahead and start playing music. It is now 9:30. Officially, the lesson is over. But like I said, a lot of people like the music. They use it for encouragement. And I'm going to play some at this time. And you continue to be blessed. And if you change your mind about speaking while the music is playing or after this play it, you still have time to press the one button. And I'm going to play this record right now. The title of the record is Dear God.
Feels so good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said, surely this is it. but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my For every victory in you I've seen. Oh, and for the moment, God, I know you kept me. Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for my life. I realize some didn't make it. I could have been one of the ones who lost my way. And there were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, it's all gonna be worth it. Yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for, thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought me through. Thank you for, I know it was you, God. I just wanna take the time to say thank you, Jesus, for my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my life.
And that's a song all of us could sing at one time or another. But that's our program for tonight. And as I close, I want to let you know to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and thank God. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And if the Lord allows it, we'll be back next week, same time. But until then, you be blessed. Thank you, and have a great week. Good night.